Morning is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 2 verses 8 through 15. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourselves to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When I was at Clemson, I took a beekeeping class. My dad always had hives of bees down the farm, and he would go there and tend to them without any protective anything and just reach in and do stuff with them, and I guess they just didn't bother him or whatever, I don't know. But we wouldn't dare go near without all the garb you had and the mask and the hats and all that sort of stuff, but Dad didn't mind it at all. And I decided, you know, this beekeeping class, it came with a lab, and I thought that was just too fascinating. So I took it and learned a lot. It was just a fascinating course. But it included a lab, which was out away from campus in a building out there. It was the bug building. It was the entomology, I think they call it. I'm probably saying that, or entomology. That's it, entomology. Anyway, that professor, and he was a great professor. And so the first time we went out for the lab, he took us in his office, which was a nice-sized office. It was just really a big butler building. He took us into his office and said, I want you to see what I've got in here. And there, behind plexiglass, was a live beehive right there in his office. And you could see everything. Every bit of it was plexiglass. And all the bees and the honeycomb and everything else was right there. And the bees working away and everything else. And he said, I have everything in there that they need. He said, they have plenty of sugar water. I even have the pollen things they need. Everything they need has circulation air. It's always kept in a certain way so there's, you know, pest-free and everything else. But on one side of it was a pretty good-sized clear acrylic tube that ran to a wall, and the wall, he had a hole there, and the tube went to the outside. And so while we were watching, the honeybees were marching along, going out, and other honeybees were marching along, coming in. They couldn't fly through the tube, but they would find it, and they would march in and out. And so someone asked and said, well, why are they going out? They don't need to collect anything. They've got all the sugar water they need so they can make their honey. They have everything else that they need. They have the combs and the wax. Everything else is there. So why are they going out? And he said, even though they have everything they need, they still have to go out. That is so much a part of what they are. They don't stay in the hive, even though they could, and they would be perfectly safe, and everything would be fine, everything would be provided for them. Even though they could stay there, they don't. The worker bees go out. The worker bees have to go out. And they collect things, and they do things, and they pollinate, and they do what honeybees do. I've always remembered that because I think a lot of times, sort of the story of the church, we have everything we need right here, the fellowship with one another, the presence of the living Savior with us. We have all that we need in growing and becoming Christians and having the nurture and the support and the friendship and the communion of the Holy Spirit with us. But even though we have that, I truly believe that all of us also have that need to go here, from here, the safety of here, out into the world. That we have that need to accomplish what Christ came into the world to accomplish, to bring forth the good news. Now, at times, even though we have that need, at times we fail to live by that need. And I think the author here sort of points out some aspects of it. He says in verse 8, that is my gospel. That is my gospel. My gospel. That is my good news. And I'm here to proclaim that good news. I'm here to present that good news to all the world. Jesus Christ redeems. Jesus Christ changes. Jesus Christ can take your wreck of a life and turn it into something grand and glorious. Jesus Christ can show you love that is unconditional, that is unbelievable. And so that is our gospel, and we have that need to present it to the world, even though at times we fail to live out that gospel message. Even though at times, instead of proclaiming the good news of Christ, we proclaim everything else except the good, glorious, wonderful, hope-filled message of Jesus Christ, redemption, salvation, everlasting life, and life abundantly here. Even though this is our gospel, many times we find ourselves proclaiming everything except that gospel message. We know, just like the bees, that we are called to go out into the world and proclaim this. That is what the Bible teaches us. And even though we understand it, we are hesitant. He continues on and says, the Word of God is not chained. What a marvelous statement. What a powerful statement. The Word of God is not chained. It goes, it moves, it's living. It changes the reality of things. And yet, even though we know the Word of God is not chained, sometimes we live as though the Word of God is our own treasure, our own personal possession, that which we treasure, that which we keep within our hearts. I have the image of the old-timey treasure chest like you might find on a pirate ship or something, and the treasure chest is there, and it's filled with the treasure, and it's wrapped with chain this way and wrapped with chain that way, so that indeed no one can ever get into it. And I think sometimes as Christians, even though we know that we're to go into the world and proclaim the goodness of God and that marvelous part of the Word of God, the living Word of God, that we live as though we've chained that Word within us, that precious gift, that precious treasure that we have, and we keep it as though it's a very private part of our lives, even though the Scripture says the Word of God is not chained. God's Word is not there making no difference whatsoever. God's Word always changes everything. God's Word interacts with every aspect of our lives and with the aspects of everyone else's lives. Even though we know that God's Word is not chained, many times we live as though we've chained it up and it's our own private possession. He says in verse 10, therefore, I endure everything. What a victorious word. I endure everything. And even though we hear those words, we know how triumphant they are, we know how much it means that we could say that, we could echo those words as well. I can endure anything. I can endure everything. We realize that many times we simply fail at that. I'm not speaking so much of hardship and trials and tribulations as I am just the everyday, ordinary temptations. Those things we do that we know that when we go to prayer to God, that God is looking at us with the love that only God can give. God is saying, why did you do that? Why exactly did you say the hateful word? Why did you not express my love and acceptance and the wonderful, rich possibility of redemption? when it was there for you to proclaim? Why did you yield to that temptation to fall right in with how the world normally works, which is to speak judgment, condemnation, anger, hatred, all of those things, instead of the Word of God, which is not chained? Did we think that we couldn't endure that temptation? When God says, resist Satan, Satan will flee from you no matter what it is. The author says, I can endure anything. And even though that word is there and that word is truth for us, we live as though we cannot endure anything. This last verse here, this last section, is one of these favorite expressions in the Bible. It's one of these that just means so much. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, and so you immediately come to the conclusion that if we're faithless to God, then you can fill in the blank. God will show us what it is to live without Christ. God will show us what it is to live without hope. God will show us what it is to live without love. But that's not what it says. Even though we at times are faithless, the verse 13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful. If you ever have a lack of understanding as to who Christ is and how Christ acts in our lives, just remember that one phrase. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, because that is who Christ is. Even though we at times live in ways that don't embody Christ to the world, even though at times we live as though we don't have faith, even though we live at times as though we don't have the good news to proclaim to everyone else, Christ remains faithful to us. And Christ uses us with all of our frailties to go into the world and to represent our Savior to those who are literally dying to hear that gospel, that good news, to know that Christ is faithful to them as well. Let us pray.